Right, lots of reaction from you this morning. 0330 80 55 55. We'll start with Paul. Morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Paul.
I would just like to put it forward to the DUP that they're offering simplistic and ill-thought-out solutions. How do you know what materials, what goods are on a heavy vehicle? How do you know what personnel are travelling in the vans? I think they're offering simplistic, ill-thought-out, and really, have they got a clue what is going to happen?
And Jim in Belfast. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen. My point to Geoffrey Donaldson is, listen to him, very influential man in his community. But when I listened to his rhetoric there, it was quite apparent to me that he was more focused on cementing Northern Ireland's place within the Union rather than what is right for the six counties within the island of Ireland. There's a lot of people who voted against Brexit.
Well, it's no big surprise that Geoffrey is cementing the place within the
Union. Hold on,
he's a unionist.
Yet, Stephen, so hold on, please. Let me finish. Don't be interrupt me until I finish, please. There's people within Northern Ireland, both unionists and nationalists, who voted to remain in Brexit. And you have to sort of take a step back from this here, sort of cementing the place, Northern Ireland, within the Union. And you have to respect, you know, there's farmers along the border, unionist farmers, who are going to lose a lot of money as a result of Brexit. There's a big percentage of people who didn't vote for Brexit. And Northern Ireland is complicated enough without getting bogged down in the even more discussion and rhetoric and semantics over Brexit.
The farmers' payments have been guaranteed for a couple of years. I'm not sure how many.
No, hold on a second. No, just hold on a second, big lad. You haven't got that in writing. I would not trust the leaders who are negotiating this here more than they trust the man on the moon. That's hearsay. You have no confirmation that
it's not hearsay.
That
for goodness sake, I'll find where it is, but it's not hearsay.
Well, don't say something on radio that you have that yours come up to have your head. I look back it up, and you don't. You're saying I'll find where it is. You haven't got it in front. You need to do your homework, piglet. There's nothing guaranteeing these here farmers that they're going to get their payments.
I will go and find. My crack team is trying to find it now.
Your crack team have let you down this morning, big man, because if you had done their homework, you'd have said to me,
big man, it winds me up.
Well, maybe I'll think you're like Mr. Tumble, but we're digressing here off the actual story.
Yes.
You're saying here that the payments are guaranteed. There's no assurance that the payments are guaranteed. Nobody will know what's actually happened here
I'm pretty sure there is, actually, so I'll find it.
Listen, you can go away and find it, but the reality is things can change between now and 2019, and I think the people of the north of Ireland would be better served trying to focus on moving off from the Good Friday Agreement. I think this is maybe a bit of a hindrance.
So what do you think the solution is here? So if Brexit's carrying on, if Brexit's happening, what do you think the solution is? A hard border or what?
No, I think the solution is we can't even get an assembly up and running here. We are dysfunctional. I think we need to get all our community leaders, all our representatives, get them into a room and thrash it out. Because if we can't even get an assembly up and running, how in under God are we going to sort out some progress of Brexit? It's a farce.
Jim, thank you. Thank you, sir. Nice to talk to you, wee man. Jim in West Belfast. Morning, Jim. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Jim.
Stephen, we can discuss this until the cows fly, if you like. But the people who are going to make the decision are the 27 countries left in the EU who will make the decision about the border. Now, we wouldn't be in this spot if in 1973, when we voted to join what was called the Common Market, it was based on getting transport through borders quickly. All of a sudden, somebody decided free movement of population. We never had a vote on that. If we had a vote on that and that didn't come into action, we wouldn't be in the position we're in today.
What do you
99%
mean?
99% of the people who voted to leave the EU, it was migration was the top of their list. Now you can't...
Well, now you're hearing about free movement of people, aren't you? Of goods and people.
Yeah. Now, one other
point... Did you vote to leave?
One other point...
Did you vote leave, Jim?
Stephen, 2 weeks ago it was reported that Brussels were making a decision as to whether or not to put Poland out of the EU. So where does that leave, again, another point?
Jim, did you vote to leave?
I did, yes.
So would you, if knowing what you know now, would you have voted differently?
No.
You'd still vote leave?
No, I said yes, because on principle, we weren't given the choice Now, you wouldn't have to be Einstein to realise that if you make freedom of movement, people from poor countries were going to come to the United Kingdom. Now the United Kingdom can't supply houses, doctors, hospitals or schools. It's in trouble. Some of the countries in the EU, one country, Iceland, I think the population is 600,000. We have got 63 million. I think the British government now have to think of the number of people in the United Kingdom and also how many they want to live on 1 square mile to get the population sorted out.
Jim, thank you. By the way, the funding, I was right. EU funding for Farmer Sanders and other projects will be replaced by the Treasury after Brexit. The Chancellor, Philip Hammond, I knew I'd read it somewhere, so it was the Chancellor, Philip Hammond, who has guaranteed this. It'll cost up to $6 billion a year, and the Treasury will guarantee to back EU-funded projects signed before this year's autumn statement. Agricultural funding, now provided by the EU, will also continue until 2020. That's when it's guaranteed by. Peter in Banbridge. Morning, Peter.
Yes. No, it's a pity about Geoffrey. I wanted to ask him a few questions, but he's not there. But what does Geoffrey know about borders? Did he ever experience crossing a border on a lorry?
Well, did you?
Hundreds of times, thousands of times.
So you were a lorry driver?
Yes, a long-distance lorry driver. Geoffrey does not know what he's talking about.
Well,
no way of checking a load, more physically looking at it. Just imagine you have a load of cattle coming up from Mayo. How's Geoffrey going to check their tag numbers with the computer? He can't do it.
Well, they're talking about this modern technology and other methods. What are the other methods they're talking about?
He's talking pure nonsense. He'd have to have a border to get the cattle out, check their tag numbers, customs man there. And another thing, I heard Mark Davenport on this morning saying there was a common travel area pre-joining the European Union.
That's
not true.
Well, now, I'm sure if Mark said it is true.
It's not true, Stephen. Don't protect him. I was a lorry driver. I sat that nearly for days and days on Dundalk in the 80s. And the European Union came in 1973. Mark Davenport is not telling the truth.
Mark Davenport, it does tell the truth now. I need to protect him here. Of course what he's saying is true.
Common travel area before 1973. That's what Mark Davenport said this morning on the radio. And that is not true.
Listen, we don't need to go back to 1973. We can talk about now, Peter. What's the solution, Peter?
Talk about now. How are they going to check stuff at the border without having customs? Are they going to close down Dover as well? They're not going to leave Dover closed and Newry open. People's just going to come around and come in through Newry. That's stupid to think that.
Well, the DUP are saying that you can use modern technology to detect these goods.
They're talking pure nonsense. They don't even know what they're talking about. For Geoffrey never was at a border. He never crossed a border in a lorry in his life. So he does not know what he's talking about.
So what do you think the solution is?
There is only one solution. Either stay in the European Union or else have borders. There is no alternative. There is no alternative. What are they going to do? Are they going to close open Dover as well? Have you ever been through Dover?
I have not.
Well, I mean, you're standing there for days queuing up your load off, your load on custom checks. There's no other way of doing it.
0303 80 55 55. We'll take more of your calls in just a second. William in Derry now. Morning, William.
Hello.
Yes, William.
I've just listened to the last caller. They wondered, how do they do it now when they're bringing cattle across the border?
What do you mean?
Well, what do they do now? He's talking about tags and things. How do they do it now? So there is no border.
Yes, but one part is... Both parts are currently in Europe, for goodness sake, William. The EU, sorry. Right, William's dropped off. We'll bring Dawn in now. We'll bring William back. Morning, Dawn.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Dawn.
I'm just mad again listening to Geoffrey Donaldson. I just thought it was nonsense what he said. He didn't mention the important points made by, I think, Philip Hammond or somebody at the weekend, which was that the UK is going to leave the single market and is going to end freedom of movement. So how on earth is anything going to happen between for all the business, all the travel, all the work opportunities between Northern Ireland and the Republic after that, just to talk about technology.
Well, there's a proposal of cameras and number plate recognition to monitor cross-border trade, Dawn.
It doesn't address anything. What cross-border trade? They want to leave the single market and end free movement of people and leave the EU. So Northern Ireland won't be part of any of that. It will be over. It'll be Northern Ireland exporting to UK, as Geoffrey seems to love, and importing from the UK. And it's just disastrous. And what future is there?
But Dawn, business here will still be trading with across the border, obviously.
Yes, as a non-EU country, subject to everything that they'll be subject to in terms of checks and prices and regulations and the cost of all of it. And it's as the speaker from Fine Gael said, that there are no solutions. They're sloganising and sloganising and sloganising and no solutions. And it's just so worrying for, you know, nobody is addressing it. Geoffrey and Theresa May and the others, they still haven't come up with a proper, concrete, realistic proposal. But they won't be deciding it, and they know that. So it's all talk, and it's very worrying, and it just really makes me question as to, is there any future for us to continue to live in this place?
What would you really do?
I would, well, I'm seriously considering, I'm waiting to see, there's no hope as yet with this, it's just chaos, but waiting to see what the outcome of this is. But I would move, I want to remain within the EU and continue to have all those rights and opportunities and the benefits of that. And moving to the south would be the obvious.
Or get yourself an Irish passport.
Well, I already have an Irish passport, but an Irish passport isn't going to give people access to all the EU rights and benefits. If you're resident in a country that's out of the EU, you'll be the same as someone from, India or China, whatever. You'll be a non-EU resident, so you won't have any of those benefits, passport or not.
Have you got your own business?
No. I'm professional, so I can't.
So why would you move down south? Why would you move? First of all, why would you move down south? What do you think you would get from living in the south in the future that you wouldn't get here? And secondly, you're belittling the negotiating position that we will have, Dawn, during these negotiations, and there will be trade deals, and there are trade deals with other countries like America, for example, and elsewhere. And you should wait, surely, and have confidence in the leverage that this country will have.
Well, I don't think this country, and I think people deserve more than just being told about trade deals. They're non-existent, but there's an awful lot more to our life and society and culture than trade deals. That is one aspect of it, although that's completely not clear either. But while I still can, and while a lot of people still can, and I'm not the only one, having spoken to friends and peers, but we have free movement as EU residents, and we can use that. You can automatically qualify or transfer to work in another EU jurisdiction. Once the UK leaves the EU, if this happens, which I think is doubtful, but maybe that's wishful thinking, but if the UK leaves the EU, then all of that opportunity will have gone. So it's not difficult to do, to move and live and work in another EU country. That's the whole point of freedom of movement and the single market. But afterwards, it's just going to be Little Britain, and it'll be so awful. And I want to be part of the big world, really. I don't want to be part of that.
Dawn, thank you. Terry in Belfast. Morning, Terry.
Good morning, Stephen. I think that you are wrong, and
I'm wrong.
Yes, in saying that there isn't a hard border, a sea border between Britain and Northern Ireland, inasmuch as that during the Troubles, that there was an exclusion order put on people from the north of Ireland travelling to England or travelling to mainland Britain. So there must be a border.
There's no exclusion order now, Terry.
No. there was an exclusion order put on where the British government said that people from Northern Ireland could not travel to mainland Britain. So evidently...
On certain individuals,
order.
Not in the whole country.
Pardon?
On certain individuals, not the whole country.
Yes, on certain individuals. So there is a border. They stopped them going to England. Mainland Great Britain.
So what's your point?
That it is wrong to say that there is not a sea border between Northern Ireland and Britain.
So if we could be treated differently then, you're saying we could be treated differently again?
No.
But to say to the whole unionist community there's not a border between this part of the UK and the other is not going to happen.
On your programme, Geoffrey Donaldson made an assertion that there was no sea border between the north of Ireland and mainland Britain.
Well, he says it's never going to happen.
Because it did happen. So, ergo, there is a border.
Terry, thank you. Different policies for different parts of the UK doesn't mean it's a border. Nigel, morning, Nigel.
Hi, Stephen.
Go ahead, Nigel.
Interesting conversation with Dawn. I wouldn't say I'm too far away from her, but that wasn't the point. The Irish sea border may be the best idea or the worst idea ever. Who knows? It's an idea. I mean, listen to Geoffrey. I mean, even by the standards of Geoffrey and the DUP, it's pure guff, pure blah, blah, pure BS, and that's being polite about it, to be honest. Very simply, have you ever flown to Geneva?
No.
Go fly to Geneva. You've got a border. It's right in the border between France and Switzerland, obviously. There's a massive hard border between France and Switzerland, one between Germany and Switzerland. Germany, Switzerland, France, they cooperate to the level they have three shared airports where you can fly in and fly out. It's all very well integrated in shared airports. And they have hard borders on the land, in the air. There's obviously new sea. Unless there's not going to be some technological solution, there's going to be a border like you have between Switzerland and France.
But then when you think then, Nigel, about the special circumstances in Northern Ireland, the politics of the last 20, 30 years, and the implications of having a hard border, what's that going to do to the peace process in Northern Ireland if there were to be a hard border?
That's a question for the Brexiteers. The Brexit here, those who voted for Brexit and those who campaigned for it for 40 years, remember, 40-year campaigns even, they've now had a year and a half. So you've had 40 years, you might have had, they were doing planning for this, obviously, at some point, obviously not. You've had a year and a half since it happened. They've got lots of proposals. No, they got us here. That's fair enough, but they won the referendum. That's great. That's fantastic. They're now responsible for the situation they're in. And the answer is, they haven't got a plan because there isn't. Everyone keeps looking for some perfect solution that's good. There's not. There's just the least bad solution. And actually, the Irish Sea border might be the least bad solution. It's not a good solution. It might just end up being the least bad solution because otherwise you're looking at, go travel between Switzerland and France, Switzerland and Germany. These are countries with no wars, no history, no nothing. They have proper hard borders because that's what you have to have between countries who are in.
And that's what you're outside. Advocating. You're advocating a hard border.
No.
So what is the solution?
That's what I'm saying. The Brexiteers have got us here. They have to come up with proposals. I don't know. The answer is it's not easy. We can all agree on that. It's not easy. This is the other thing as well. Remember in the campaign, the referendum, the border, it'll be so easy. We'll be sorted out in a week or two, blah, 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 blah. That was all a whole pile of BS. They won. They never expected to win. They haven't got a plan. But folks, the thing is, it's not like usual Northern Ireland where everything rolls on and rolls on forever. It's March 2019. There's an actual, real, proper deadline. Not our usual old guff of no deadlines. This has to happen in 2019.
So what do you predict?
The plan. Sorry?
What do you predict will happen?
I haven't got a clue. And that's the point. I haven't got a clue. Neither has Geoffrey.
Nigel, thank you very much indeed.